Just look back to Calvary.
That's right.
And you'll find that he's the loser in the end of this. What a blessing. I hope that you celebrated at your home the way that we celebrated here just now. What a blessing. What a blessing. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark this morning. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 15. Mark, chapter 15. Thank you again, Brother Joel, and all of you that are working to make sure these services go forward. And the reason we're doing it is to carry the message of that cross. Mark chapter 15, as we all know, we are in a crisis in America today. This crisis that we are in has led to a worried world. It has led to a worried world, but we have learned that it's all a part of the process of living in these last days. But I sure do rejoice, as we talked about, there are some certain things that can still be found in an uncertain world. Last week I talked to you about how that the power of God, the love of God, and a sound mind is available to those when we're in the middle of fear in our lives, available for delivery. Today I want us to continue that theme today of crisis in America by looking at it in a very fresh way, but one that is pertinent to what we celebrate on this day leading up to Resurrection Sunday. If you're with me and if you found your place in Mark chapter 15, if you'd rise to your feet, if you're able to do that at home and in this building as well, I want to read two verses and let's get our hearts and minds wrapped in this. Verse 33 of Mark 15 says this, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness." Would you underscore that word darkness? "There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I want to build our thoughts today around the words of verse 33 that says there was darkness over the whole land. There was darkness over the whole land. Wouldn't you agree that there's a little bit of darkness over our land right now? Really over the entire world. There was darkness over the whole land. I'm speaking to you this morning on things sure look dark. Things sure look dark. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. One of the unique things that we learned when we moved to Germany for the very first time was a window covering that they had that they called them Rollladens. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. I know a few of our folks have. It got so light so early in the morning over there that they would have these great big plastic or fiberglass metal or whatever coverings that from the inside of your house you could lower over the outside of your windows. And I'm telling you, folks, when those things were down, it was dark. It didn't matter if it was the brightest sunrise of the morning at that time. It didn't matter what it was. When those Rollladens were down, it got dark. When they were down, you could easily sleep the entire day away. It didn't matter. You could easily do that. I remember many a time laying in bed at night and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face because it was so dark in there. I remember thinking many, many times, man, it sure is dark in here. It was so dark at sometimes that in certain hours of the night, if you woke up, it could even be very, very scary. Darkness is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Many enemies of different military forces and even enemies of the United States through the years, they have used darkness as a form of torture. You see, if you're in the dark long enough, you will become discouraged. If you're in the dark long enough, it won't be long until you become even depressed. If you're in the dark long enough, it won't be long until people have even been known to lose their minds because of the darkness. Darkness is a powerful, powerful thing. Now think about it in our own lives. Have you ever been in a situation or a period in your life where things just looked so dark? I mean, your whole world just seemed so dark. And I'm not just talking about outside, you know what I mean. I'm talking about in general. Your life just seemed so dark. I mean, no matter how badly you wanted to see the light, things just seemed so dark. No matter how hard that you looked, things just seemed so dark. No matter what you said, no matter what you did, no matter whatever changes that you tried to have in your life, things just seemed to look so dark. Life was just difficult. Life was just dark. You were struggling through the darkness of your life. And when I think about the crisis in America that we are in right now, we are facing some seriously dark times. We are struggling with some difficulty. We are in a time right now where things just seem so dark. Wherever you're at today, maybe you're in this building. Maybe you're sitting around your dining room table. Maybe you are maybe in your kitchen or living room or wherever it might be. You have things that are in your life and they just seem so dark. Maybe your family situation just seems so dark. Maybe your health situation. Maybe you're sitting and you're overwhelmed with a sickness that you have no hope in and things just seem so dark. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay the mounting bills right now. Things just seem so dark in your life. I just want to remind us today that darkness, we're not the only ones that are faced with it. Darkness is something that people have been facing for generations upon generations, thousands and thousands of years. The Bible says in verse 33 again, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Now think about it. Physically and spiritually, these were the darkest days that history has ever recorded. The darkest days ever were right here in Mark chapter 15 and in these gospel accounts. In the midst of the darkness of our crisis in our life, though, whatever we may be faced with, I want us to know today that there are some good things that can still be found in the darkness. So in the middle of our world and in the middle of our life, as things look so dark right now, I want you to think with me about these three particular things as we consider this wonderful story from Scripture, one of which that is familiar to us. Think about these things with me. First of all, there was the sudden season of the dark in our story. The sudden season of the dark. I'm sure most of you could look at this area of Scripture. You could read the tabs in your Bible. You could read just a few verses in it, and you could understand that this is a passage of Scripture, one of them in the Gospels, that is giving us the death, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That climactic moment, that climactic purpose for which Christ came to this earth to be able to pay for the sin of all of humanity, it was now fully underway. It was fully in swing. They had already mocked the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 15. They had already taken him and they'd already put a purple robe upon him. They had put a fake crown upon him and they had bowed down before him in a sacrilegious way as him being king of the Jews, as he proclaimed. At this point, they had already beaten him. They had already scourged him, of course. They had already spat upon him. They had already done all these things to belittle the precious Son of God. They had now led him out of the city of Jerusalem and they were making their way out of the city and to a place called Calvary's Hill. I've stood in that very place, and it is a sobering thing to look at that spot where Christ was crucified. At this point right now, Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. But you see, all of this happened before darkness ever came. All of the beating, all of the scourging, all of the mocking, all of that happened before darkness ever came. Jesus now in Mark 15 is hanging on the cross of Calvary. He is suspended between heaven and earth as he is paying the sin debt of all of humanity. We read again in verse number 33, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." In verse 33, we are told that there was the sixth hour, and we were told that there was the ninth hour. The Word of God is here giving us a timeline. The sixth hour, listen to me closely, it is not when he was first hung on the tree, as so many of us have thought through the year. It was not at the sixth hour, but he was actually first hung on the cross at the third hour, which would have been around 9 a.m., 9 o'clock in the morning. The sixth hour would have been right around 12 noon, meaning that Jesus had been hanging on the cross for about 3 hours before the Lord got God in heaven turned out the lights. Before things went dark, Christ had already been hanging on the cross for 3 hours. For 4,000 or so years, physically or spiritually, the world had never seen deep, depressing, and dangerous darkness quite like they were being exposed to right then. This darkness, it had been likened as well to the darkness that was expressed in Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 21. That something that fell over, it smothered really the nation of Egypt. You remember the story as the people of God, God was trying to deliver them, and Moses was dealing with Pharaoh and the different plagues, and one of the plagues was darkness. And Exodus, the book of Exodus, describes that darkness as being so great that you could even feel it. Just like you could feel the heat outside, the sunshine upon you. Just like you could feel the cold temperatures as the wind may blow. The darkness was something that you could feel just like that. And on this day, that's how it was. The darkness was that which that was so difficult, so deep, so dark, and so depressing that people literally could feel it. People across their world and across their area, they were going about their lives as they normally would across the land. They were going about their day. They were doing their shopping. They were running all of their businesses. But yet suddenly there was a darkness that came across them that they could literally see and they could also literally feel. They were doubtless in a situation where they were running into shelves in the stores. They were probably bumping into each other out on the streets of the city. They were trying to feel their way as they tried to make their way back home, as they could not see very well at all. Their minds were not in clear focus. It was playing mind games with them. It was 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not supposed to be dark at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But all of a sudden, darkness came across the earth. Mind games. Games they were being played with. They were literally struggling in their mind, trying to comprehend what was going on. It was darkness that they could feel. They could not only see it, but they could sense it. There's much more that I could tell you about the timing of this darkness and all that went on between these hours, the first 3 hours between 6 and between 9 and 12, and then when the darkness came between 12 and 3 and all of the different things. But for right now, I want you to notice the words of verse 33, was darkness. You know what that's telling us? It's telling us that it had not always been dark. Amen. The sun had risen that morning just like it had every other morning of their existence. It had not always been dark. But you see, friends, at the peak of that daylight, at the peak of day, 12 noon, high noon, as so many call it, everything went dark. God in heaven turned out the lights of this world. Folks, it was less than a month ago that the United States and much of the world as well, we were at the peak of our sunrise. We were at the peak of our day. We were at the peak of the light, the daylight that was out there. We were enjoying a great economy. We were enjoying the freedoms that we had. We were enjoying some good things God was doing in the church. And I believe spiritually, the nation was enjoying some spiritual things as well. I don't doubt that at all. But we were at the peak of our life. The sun was shining and everything seemed to be good. Everything seemed to be going all right. But it just seemed all of the sudden that there was something that came across us, that there was a darkness that came over us, and it was a sudden darkness, and it is so thick that it is one that we can sense. It is one that we can feel. It is one that we don't have to do much but just wake up each morning and we realize that we are in a dark, dark form in our life. Right now, our world is just in darkness. Now listen closely to me right now, because I am not trying to make light of this crisis that we are in. This corona crisis, this COVID-19 crisis that we are in, I'm not trying to make light of that in any way. I've tried to take it seriously. I've tried to honor it. I've tried to do everything we could to keep our people safe and to try to keep my own family safe. But all I'm trying to tell us is, even though we've been in the middle of this crisis, we have still experienced some good things in the middle of it. Amen. Things have not been as bad as things could have been in the middle of the darkness of our crisis. When we think about all that we've been dealing with, yes, it is overwhelming. Yes, anxiety does come upon us. Yes, it is discouraging at time from times when we think of the darkness that we've been faced with. But things have not been as bad as they really could have been. God in the middle of all of this has truly been good to us. The reason so many of us are struggling with this dark period that we are in our nation today, in America today, is because America that we know, the America that we've lived in, it is an America that has never experienced anything quite like this. This is brand new to me. This is brand new to most of you as well. We weren't alive, most of us weren't, at Pearl Harbor. We weren't alive at some of the other things. 9/11, many of us experienced September 11th, and that was a difficult time. But right now, our whole nation has experienced darkness. We are reminded again of how quickly God can remove light off of a nation. It only took a few days, folks, for us to find ourselves in a sudden season of darkness. The fact of the matter is, how we handle this darkness is what's really going to be judged. That's what's going to be remembered when these days finally do pass. I'm thankful that even in these sudden seasons of darkness that none of us could really see, none of us that really were expecting, I'm thankful there are some good things that are there. But may we be reminded, as our leaders did yesterday, there are still some difficult days ahead. I think we see that in the Scripture as well. There isn't only the sudden season of darkness, but there was the sorrowful suffering of the dark as well. The sorrowful suffering of the dark. Now, I already talked to you a little bit about how our Lord had already been beaten. Our Lord had already gone through a lot of the burden and a lot of the struggle and a lot of the sorrow of all making His way to the cross and being nailed to the cross. He had already been through some of that. Fact of the matter is, I believe the Scripture makes it clear to us that the worst was yet to come. The most difficult time for our Lord was yet to come. It went beyond Pilate's hall. It went beyond the cat of nine tails. It went beyond the mocking. It went beyond all that. I believe the most difficult period that our Lord dealt with suffering was yet to come. He was suffering, oh, it's true, through the pain of His skin being ripped off of His back. He was suffering, oh, yes, it's true, of His beard being plucked out. He was suffering of thorns that were being thrust all the way through His head and into His skull. He was suffering His hands and feet being pierced with nails. He was suffering as a spear was thrust through His side as well. These are all just a few examples of the suffering that our Lord withered. We'll never be able to understand what Christ endured that day on the cross to pay for all of our sin. We never will. But what I want you to understand is all of those things, they were physical sufferings. They were physical sufferings that He was having to deal with, and certainly that would have been bad enough, but I really do believe that the worst of His suffering, the worst of this crisis, the worst of His darkness that He was dealing with on this day, it was yet to come. Look at the Scripture, see if you see it with me in verse number 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, listen to this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Underscore that word forsaken, for the word is meaning literally to leave behind. The word is meaning to desert. That word forsaken is telling us that there was an abandonment. There was a leaving in straits. There was a leaving of in a helpless condition. God the Father, who had been the faithful companion of God the Son since the very beginning of time, since way beyond the beginning of time, since a time that our minds can't even fathom, from the very beginning forever, God the Father had been the companion of God the Son. And for the very first time, God the Father had to forsake God the Son. There was a loneliness that had come across Him. There was a forsaken spirit. It was during this horrific darkness that God the Father laid upon God the Son, laid upon Jesus Christ, who was our suffering, sacrificial substitute, the sinful guilt of humanity, past, present, present and future. All of our ancestors, Christ was paying the price of sin for. All of us that are under the sound of my voice here and about, Christ was paying the sin for. All of our children and grandchildren and great and great and great beyond that, that we may never know if the Lord tarries, Christ was paying the sin debt for. Up until this time, up until this moment, the Son of God had never known anything but purity. He had never known anything but a sinless nature. But it was upon this moment that He became sin, of whom knew no sin. He became sin for us. God took all of the perversions of our lives and put them upon the substitute, put them upon His own Son. He took every lie of our lives and put them upon the Son, every adulterous thought, every adulterous heart, and He put them upon the Son. Every profane word that ever came out of our mouth, He put them upon the Son. Every corrupt spirit, God help us there, He put them upon the Son. Every hateful attitude that we have ever had, He put them upon the Son. Every drunken act that we ever had, He put them upon the Son. Every drug use that we ever had, He put them upon the Son. Every lack of faithfulness that we ever had to our great God, He put them that day upon the Son. And on and on and on and on we could go. Every word, every thought, and every deed that we or anybody else that had ever lived, God put them upon the Son. Think of it this way. On the cross, God treated Jesus as though He had lived our sinful lives so that He could treat us as though we lived His sinless life. Think of the wonder of that. On the cross, God treated Jesus as though He lived our sinful lives so that He could treat us as though we lived His sinless life. You see, when the sin was placed on the Son, the Father turned His back from the Son. And for the first time ever, for the first time at any point, Jesus Christ, that faithful companion that God the Father would, had turned His back. And for the first time ever, Jesus was all alone in the darkness that you and I created. He was all alone in darkness that we caused. He didn't deserve to be in darkness. He was the light of glory. And He did not deserve darkness. But for the first time, He was in darkness. And He was all alone. He endured the suffering of the skin being ripped off of Him without saying a word. He endured the suffering of His beard being ripped out of Him without saying a word. He endured the suffering of a crown of thorns being thrust through His head without saying a word. He endured the suffering of the nails being pierced through His hands and through His feet without saying a word. Every other form of suffering that He endured on this day, He did without saying a word. But when the darkness came, caused by the Father turning His back on the Son, and that this world that was there on that day could not look upon Him at that moment, when loneliness came, He could no longer be silent. And He lifted His voice, and with a loud voice He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, God, why have You left me behind? He was saying, God, why have you deserted me? Why have You abandoned me? Why have You left me helpless? You've never done this before. I've never been in this situation before. I've never felt a loneliness before. I tell you, folks, loneliness is the greatest form of suffering that the human heart, mind, and body will ever have to endure. It is loneliness. There's lonely people out there right now who can attest to that. There are no doubt some of you that are under the sound of my voice and you are suffering right now through the dark crisis of your life and you feel so lonely in the middle of it. Nobody else understands. You're just all by yourself. You're asking of God. You're saying, dear God, why have you left me behind right now? God, why have you deserted me? Why have you abandoned me? Why, oh God, have you left me so helpless in this situation, in this crisis, and in this darkness that I am faced with in my life now? Someone recently told me that even though they are surrounded by people every day of their life, they're surrounded by people, they said, for whatever reason, I still feel so lonely right now. And I can't explain it, they said. I just feel so lonely. You may be that way out there today. You have tried to explain it to your spouse. You have tried to explain it to your children. You've tried to explain it, maybe children, to your parents or to your friends. But nobody has the ability to understand why that you are suffering and you are struggling so badly with loneliness in your life. Things just look so dark. Your crisis is only getting bigger. The darkness is only getting worse. Nobody understands, and you're just so lonely. I have a word for you today. I want you to know that there is one who does understand. Amen. Things may look mighty dark for you, and you think there's nobody out there that understands. You think that you're in your crisis of sickness and nobody understands. You think you're in your crisis of family or finance or loneliness and nobody else understands. There is one that understands. Jesus understands. You see, he was on the cross that day and he had been deserted. He had been left helpless. He was lonely. He understands your loneliness. The writer of Hebrews told us in the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, for we have not a high priest, oh I love this, a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was with, listen, in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. No matter how lonely you feel now, no matter how dark you feel like you're in that crisis in, no matter how deep that crisis is going, he knows what loneliness is really feeling like. And he has the ability to fill that void and to brighten that darkness if you and I will just lock, stock, and barrel, bring our loneliness, bring our crisis, and bring our darkness to the foot of the cross of Calvary. We will find a friend there like we have never known before because he understands that suffering that we are dealing with in our life. No matter how deep this crisis in America may be, no matter how long it may last, there is one that knows, and he will not forsake his people. He will see us through the crisis. The sudden season of the dark they experienced, they weren't expecting it. They suddenly found themselves in the dark. But then there was the suffering sorrow of the dark, the sorrowful suffering of the dark. But I want you to think with me thirdly and finally as well that there was the supreme satisfaction in the dark. There was the supreme satisfaction in the dark. Now follow me for just a moment longer, would you? The darkness of this crisis that they were going through, the battle that was going on of good and evil that Brother Joel was just singing about just a few moments ago, things weren't looking good in it at this point. The circumstances were down. Things were not looking good. The darkness just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. Darker and darker and darker. And when we come to the 37th verse of Matthew 15, we read these words. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. They just thought it was dark, the followers of Christ. They just thought it was dark before. While he was suffering, while he was going through it, but all of a sudden things got real dark. Jesus was now dead. He was dead. We notice how the scripture tells us. We notice how the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one who willingly let go of the grip of life. Don't ever forget that. Christ is the one who willingly let go of the grip of life, the Bible says, and gave up the ghost. You see, friends, he did not die from physical exhaustion. He did not die from a traumatized body. The Jews or the Romans, they did not kill Christ. There was no man-made weapon that inflicted the fatal wound, the fatal blow of Jesus Christ. No. In sovereignty and in omnipotence, he gave up his life so that I could have mine. He willingly let it go so that I could breathe a fresh breath one day. So that I could live with him one day. He let it go. He cried out with a loud voice, the Bible tells us, so that everybody under the sound of that voice could know that he had accomplished the work. He had accomplished the mission that he had been sent to earth to do in the first place. Jesus was now dead. Humanly speaking, things were looking so dark. Darker and darker, darker. Long about that time, all of a sudden, the Bible tells us the earth began to shake. As not only Jesus died, but death itself died. And the earth began to shake. I tell you, folks, I have wondered, my imagination many times have pictured that moment when Jesus Christ walked for the first time into the Holy of Holies of heaven, carrying every drop of his precious blood that he had just shed. And my mind has pictured many times the victorious moment this must have been when he walked into the Holy of Holies and walked up to the mercy seat and he poured his perfect, his permanent, and his precious blood offering upon the mercy seat of God. As Jesus cried and he gave up the ghost and the earth shook, it was with this time that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. That veil that had separated access of man getting to God without having to have a high priest. You could not get into the presence of God. You could not get into the holy place of God without first having to go through a mediator. But that day on Calvary, as the veil began to split and as the earth began to shake, that veil split from top to bottom, signifying that no man a 30-foot tall veil, 17 to 23 inches wide, no man would have had the ability to have torn that veil in two. Only God would have had the ability to have done that, and which made way for each one of us to come boldly under his throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and what? Find grace to help in time of need. Or we could say to find grace to help in time of crisis. To find grace to help in time of darkness of our life. And as Jesus Christ, the sacrificial substitute, the pure, the holy, and the perfect Lamb of God, walked into the Holy of Holies and right up to the mercy seat and poured every drop of his precious blood out upon that, I see God the Father sitting over there upon his throne. I see him rising to his feet. I see him lifting his hands high in a proclamation way. And I see him saying, the blood of the goats never satisfied me. The blood of the lambs never satisfied me. The blood of the bulls never satisfied me, but that satisfies me. I am satisfied with the sacrifice of my perfect Son, the blood of the perfect Son of God. You see, every problem that we ever faced in this life had just been met at Calvary. Every pain that we ever face in this life had just been eased and healed at Calvary. Every need that we ever had in this life had just been met at Calvary. But we got to remember something. All of this happened while things looked dark. Every need you ever had, every burden you ever carried, every pain you ever felt was met when things looked dark. The darkest hour of history, the most evil hour of history from the world's point of view, spiritually and physically, nobody thought the light would ever shine again. Things looked so, so dark. Philip said, the work of creation was done in the light, but the work of redemption was done in the dark. The work of creation was done in the light. The work of redemption was done in the dark. The darkness of your world with what you're facing right now, it may seem so overwhelming. You may not feel like you're ever going to see the light of day again. I just wanted to take this Sunday before Easter and let you know that no matter how dark the crisis may get in America or in your home or in your life or whatever it might be, good things can come out of the dark. And this looks dark right now. Nobody's going to deny the fact that we are in a crisis. And when we look at the spiritual and the social, the economic, and in some cases the physical crisis that we are in, it just looks dark. And yesterday I heard the White House task force and the governors all across the nation, everybody, saying it's about to get worse. Darkness is really about to come.
Amen.
Just remember, the darkest day in history produced the grace of God.
Amen.
That changed lives all through the generations and centuries of time. And it was in that darkest hour that redemption was born. And it met every need that we may ever have. Don't be afraid of the dark today. Look for what God's going to do in it. See, there has to be the darkness before we can ever have appreciation of the light. There had to be some darkness before we can ever have a bursting forth of light. There had to be some darkness before we'll ever have a great awakening of our spiritual lives and a great awakening of our nation. I'm telling you today to hang in there in your darkness. You give the crisis of your life to Jesus. You come and you lay it at the foot of that mighty cross that met every need that you ever had. Because even in that darkness, the light of God will shine. And everything's going to be all right. You may be here. You may be listening. The fact of the matter is, you feel so lonely today. You feel like nobody knows how you feel. Nobody cares. I want you to remember that Jesus cares. Now, Sister Mickey gets a song of invitation together. You may not understand what the light of God is, and you're living in darkness simply because you've never given your life to Christ. Today could be the day of salvation for you, friend. All you've got to do is by faith come to Him. You're not going to make it on your own. The sin that you've committed, the sin that I committed, it separated us from God. It separated us from God. We had no hope of ever making it into heaven. Heaven's a pure place, a holy place. That's where God resides, perfect. You can't get there on your own. You got to go by way of the cross. He loves you today. And He will save you. The Bible says that He won't turn anybody away that comes to Him. If you're not certain about your salvation today, I want to ask you just to bow your head where you're at. Everybody today, bow your head where you're at. If you're not certain, I want you to do this. Pray this prayer. If you just don't know for absolute certain that heaven would be your home, pray this prayer. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, dear God, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And through the shed blood of Calvary, I'm coming to you confessing my need of a Savior. I can't make it on my own. I'm guilty of every sin that has been mentioned and many more. I'm tired of being lonely. I'm tired of being scared in this crisis. I want a peace that passes all understanding. The peace that I've seen in the lives of others in the middle of this, I want that peace. And I realize I can't get it on my own. And so today I am by faith coming to you. I am admitting that I am a sinner. I am believing that Jesus, by way of the cross, is my only hope of salvation. And I am calling upon you. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and my life. Take away my sin. Save me, that I may go to heaven one day. I'm trusting your word that you will do it. In Jesus' name." As Sister Mickey continues to play, if you did that, friend, at your home or wherever you may be, the Bible says you got saved. If you meant it in your heart, Romans 10:13 says that he'll save anybody who calls upon his name. But for you, child of God that is out there today, your crisis is dark. You're struggling with it. Do as we talked about today in the darkest hour of your crisis. Lock, stock, and barrel. Bring it all to him. Say, "Lord, I'm scared." Fear, we talked last week. That's a natural thing. Bring it to Jesus. Let him. Sister Mickey plays this final verse. Maybe today you just want to bow down on your knees and ask the Lord one more time, "God, help us, I pray, in the middle of this crisis. Would you bring us through it, Lord, and in your time, not before. We're not asking to operate outside of your will, but in your time and in your way, would you hasten that moment where our nation is free of this crisis?" Thank you so much, Sister Mickey. I want to thank you today for tuning into our service. God bless each one of you. Again, those of you that are here that put on the service, the streaming, very, very grateful for that.